Hi, I'm Terry, Instagram's sassy sober mum. Welcome to my podcast, Sober Stories from Everyday People. Bringing you stories from people just like you and I, the aim of this podcast is to share our experiences with drinking and how we got and stayed successfully sober. You can now access most of my coaching and guidance through my Thrive Sober online video course. This is an easy to follow course containing 50 videos with backed up writing and recommendations that can be worked through in your own time. There is a brilliant app that you can download to access the course on your phone or your tablet. You can skip through the course choosing content you most need in that moment, or you can work through them from 1 to 50 in order. You can come back to the learning or redo sections to help with parts of emotional sobriety that you are struggling with. The course covers holidays, summertime, Christmas, socializing, what to read, identifying and coping with triggers, complacency, the 100-day moderation trap, breaking down old beliefs, managing your thoughts, sugar cravings, and plenty more. You will also get a free copy of my Thrive Sober ebook in the introduction section. Visit www.thrivesobercoaching.com/course to learn more or get access. Use coupon code HALFPRICE to get 50% off. I've had so many messages from people that say the ebook and the course together has been the thing to get them over the line and achieving their first 100 days successfully sober. Hello and welcome to Sober Stories from Everyday People. Today I'm talking to Carrie and she's in St. Neots in Cambridgeshire and she's 126 days sober. Thank you so much, Carrie, for coming on my show.
Thank you for having me. It's really exciting.
Oh, I'm good. I always say I'm glad to hear it, but but it is exciting, you know. Having 126 days is exciting, you know, it's a big achievement. And I'm delighted that you're going to be sharing some of your highs and lows and wisdom with my audience. So why don't we get to know you a little bit? Tell us a bit about your life, what you do for fun, all that stuff.
Okay, so I'm Carrie, I'm 42. I live in St. Neots in Cambridgeshire with my partner and my three sons. The eldest is nearly 13. I've got a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. So it's pretty crazy and football crazy in my house. So that is pretty much what we do. I'm a part-time medical secretary at a local GP's surgery. And I like to run. I've just been for one this morning, actually. So it was a bit warm out, but it was good. I like to just get outside, really.
Yeah.
Especially recently, I've noticed that even more. But yeah, definitely getting outside.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Always good to start the week off on a run, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. I wish I could say the same, but I can't, sadly. I set my alarm this morning for 6 a.m. I was super motivated. I'm going to get up, work out 3 times a week from 6 in the morning. And I snoozed my alarm twice. And then had a conversation with myself at 20 past 6. Yeah. Come on. I had a shower, made a cup of tea, and then realised it was about 6:45. And just thought, right, I might as well make the lunches for the kids.
Yeah, it's too late now. Yeah. And then you're really annoyed with yourself for the rest of the day.
Rubbish, isn't it? But you know, tomorrow is another day, so we awesome. Okay, so why don't you talk to us a bit about alcohol in your life? Where did that start and what did that look like?
Okay, so I think alcohol has always been around in my life. It's quite heavily a part of my family, I would say. I wasn't one of those people that went and drank in the park with their friends. I didn't do that kind of thing. I think because it was always available at home. I think I probably had my first drinks. I was probably quite young. I can't say for sure, but I reckon 10, 11. I remember my granddad used to make me snowballs at Christmas, the avocado and lemonade and that kind of drink. I remember that. And there was a lot of homemade wine. So I think you got like little glasses with your dinner. There was always family occasions that were always there was always alcohol. So yeah, I didn't do that going to the park thing. I didn't really want to, and I don't think I felt the need. I think it felt quite safe being at home. So yeah, definitely did that. I think as I got older, I obviously did start to go out. I probably didn't have my first drink in a pub with my friends till I was probably 18. It was probably, it was quite legal, I think. And I used to just go out, Fridays, Saturdays, have a few drinks, the fairly usual stuff that you do when you're a teenager. Always suffered with hangovers really badly. Didn't put me off, mind you, but I carried on. I think I had my first hangover when I was 16 and I'd had 2 pints of homemade cider. You don't know how strong they are, do you? So you just you drink them, yeah, and I felt terrible. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I felt so awful. And I think my late teens, yeah, I'd go out on a Friday, Saturday night, drink too much, feel rubbish all day Saturday, fairly standard. Wasn't doing anything crazy, nothing like that. I went to uni a little bit late, so I went to work for a couple of years. And actually, I left that job to go to uni, so I was about 21. And my boss thought that I had some kind of stomach issue because I'd had so much time off where I said I had a stomach bug, or actually I think it was a hangover. And a work colleague told me that afterwards. I was like, oh no.
Oh
I used to get go to work and I'd look so terrible they'd send me home. And I thought, yeah, I had something wrong with me. I just made the decision to go to uni a bit late, and about 3 months before I went to uni, I met my now ex-husband. And that was a lot of drinking. He was quite a big drinker. So all of our socializing, that was drinking. We did some drinking at home. I went to uni and I think I didn't have that proper uni experience because I used to come home every weekend because he was here. He also had a young son. So we drank a lot when I came home at weekends, and I was forever hungover on either a Saturday or Sunday. And I had one of those hangovers where I just had to lay in bed. I couldn't move, otherwise I'd be sick. I just had to lay there. And eventually, probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd go, "Can I have some toast now?" And that would be it. But I'd feel terrible. Uni wasn't a massive drinking experience for me, I don't think. I did drink, but not massively. I think I always drank more if somebody I knew came to visit. So I think I felt safer that there was someone there that I knew could probably look after me if I needed them to. And I otherwise, yeah, it was okay. Nothing major. Yeah, I used to get hangovers, but it wasn't really impacting my life massively. Came back from uni, started a job. Again, probably trundled along quite happily for a bit, just drinking fairly regularly, but didn't affect me massively. So I was still in my kind of mid to late 20s then. We got married in 2010, and then I fell pregnant with my eldest fairly soon afterwards. And I think maybe once he was born, things changed. I think they changed a bit in our relationship, and I think I felt like I was doing it on my own a lot. And I felt quite lonely, I think a lot of mums do, because you go from being out at work and doing all those kind of things, and then all of a sudden you're at home with a child the whole time and they rely on you. And I found it quite lonely and I think quite stressful, and he wasn't the most helpful. I don't think the drinking particularly ramped up then. It just carried on fairly normal. My second child came along quite unexpectedly a couple of years later. Again, alcohol, not a major issue. I was still drinking too much and I would forget, and I would always suffer with hangovers, and I used to just hate feeling like that. And obviously, the older you get, the longer those hangovers last. I'm trying to think. So, yeah, Joe was born. And then we, my, I mean, I don't want to go too much into my partner, but we, my ex-husband, but we just, it wasn't working. So I made that decision to stop that relationship. So my, that was 2016. And that was a tricky time, I think. I don't actually don't think it massively made me turn to drink. It was just really stressful, as those kind of things always are. It was my choice, but it's still not easy. It caused some issues in family life and those kind of things, and I ended up having a seizure in Tesco Cafe, which, you know, I've never had one before, and thankfully I've never had one since. But I
Oh,
think it was
wow.
just a combination of stress, and actually they, reading up on it, I'd had I'd kind of found a new partner by then who I'm now with, and he's a really old friend of mine, so we've known each other for years. And the night before, I'd told my best friend about us getting together, and I'd had quite a lot of wine. And then the next morning, I'd had quite a lot of coffee, and the stress, and there's something about alcohol leaving your body can cause that. So I think it was just the perfect storm of all those things just suddenly blew up, and I found myself on the floor in Tesco Cafe with, and I was with my middle son, so, and he was two at the time. Oh, they were so good, bless him. They looked after him. So I think again, it all, that was fine after that. It all plodded along. A couple of years later, me and my partner moved in together. We drank together. Nothing major. He's not a massive drinker. He definitely is an emotional drink. He isn't an emotional drinker. He'll just go, "Oh, I fancy a drink," whereas I would have, I needed a drink. And then it's just, it's probably the last couple of years, I would say, it started, I think it's COVID. I think it really ramped up, and it did for everybody. You're at home a lot. I mean, I was lucky, I was still working, which was good. But yeah, you would open a bottle of wine at 4 o'clock because you could, or a gin and tonic, or, I mean, we had friends and we joined one of those wine club things where you got wine delivered, and we'd taste them and talk about them and go, "Oh, this is really nice," and, you know, it felt fun at the time. We'd have cheese and wine nights over Zoom and all those things that everyone did. I think it did, it definitely ramped it up for me. It was definitely, I was using it to take, you know, to forget, to just try and forget what was going on. And my middle son does not sleep well at all. I've forgotten, actually, I had another baby all of, in the mix with my new partner, but that didn't lead to any more drinking. It was fine. My middle son, though, has never been a good sleeper, and that just went awful in COVID. It was horrible. He just, yeah, I think it, the COVID obviously affected him, and I was sleeping with him every night, and it, you used alcohol as a, when I'd got downstairs, I was like, "Oh, I need a glass of wine now, you know, I need a glass of wine." Or, and definitely once we then, I think, started to come out of COVID, I think definitely got into that mummy wine culture of, you know, "I deserve one now. I've definitely deserve one." I used all the memes that were on Facebook, and, you know, all shared all of those things with my friends. And yeah, let's have it. I've still got a picture of my wall that actually is still up there now. I was thinking about taking it down the other day, and it says, "A meal without wine is called breakfast." And you just think, "Oh my God."
It's so
But
funny, isn't
it, you know,
it, when you look
it's
back?
all,
Yeah.
it's just all fun, but you just think, "Oh my goodness." And I think I was still having hangovers. I wasn't drinking massively, but I think more regularly. At home, it wasn't, I wasn't drinking huge amounts. We'd probably share a bottle of wine. But I always wanted more, and I begrudged sharing it. I didn't want to share it. And yeah, and I'd probably have a gin and tonic or two afterwards. And I was definitely one of those people where when you're pouring the wine, well, they've got a bit more than me. Or you'd go out and you'd think, I'd have finished mine and everyone's still drinking it. And I'm thinking, "Oh, please, you know, hurry up. Can we have another?" But no one else really wanted one, or, you know. And I think we, yeah, we, there's still a lot of alcohol in our family life. And all of those occasions are alcohol fueled. And those family occasions are sometimes, I find, a bit stressful. There's a lot of big characters And I've definitely, especially over the last few years, drunk my way through them. And there's the kids are there. I've forgotten coming home. The amount of times I couldn't remember leaving because I drank wine to wine was my drink of choice, and it's so strong, and you just drink it like, and it just goes down so nicely, and you drink, and then in March 23, my granddad passed away, and we were really close. We were a close family, really close, and that hit me really hard. And I think that ramped up the drinking again. I've never been an everyday. I easily could have been an everyday drinker, but I had to make myself not be. It was definitely having to moderate. Yes, my granddad passed away, and I mean he was a pretty big drinker. I started drinking whiskey because that's what he drank. I don't like whiskey. It's horrible. My partner drinks it, so there was always some in the house, but there was something just so comforting about it that I just drank it. And then I think I just probably 6 months after that, there'd been numerous family occasions, those kind of things, and it was starting to make me anxious. I'd feel awful the next day, both hungover, and it was really affecting my mental health, my anxiety, and I hated myself. I was horrible to myself. Why do I keep doing this? And it was in the back of my mind, you can't keep doing this. Something needs to change. My middle son, he hates it. He absolutely hates it. And we came home from one party, family party, and I made a bad decision to wear heels. And I'd tripped and I was holding his hand and he fell and banged his face. And I just felt so awful. It didn't stop me, but I just felt awful. And every time I drank like that, I felt awful when I couldn't get out of it for days. It was just a horrible, horrible feeling. Which then I suppose that happened for a while, and I kept saying to Trevor, I can't keep drinking. He was like, you just need to drink less, or don't drink wine, or all those things. So I tried all of those things. I tried drinking, I'll have cider instead of wine. I'll just drink gin. I'll have a water between. All of those things. But actually, it ends up making you drink more, and I don't know why. But the ones where you're trying to moderate it like that, I always ended up getting more drunk. And I think it would work for a little while, but once you've had a couple of drinks, all that decision making goes out of the window, and you. So then that carried on. I was just not feeling good about myself, just not at all. Which led to Mother's Day this year, which should I go for it? Which is Mother's Day when I decided to stop.
Yeah, go for it.
So we all went to my brother's house for Mother's Day dinner. My partner had gone. He normally takes his mum out for dinner and then comes and joins us later and does that, which was fine. I don't know what there was something in the air almost. I don't know if it was around, I suppose it was about a week before the year anniversary of my granddad passing, I think. I think the emotions were all a bit heightened. The Prosecco was flowing. So there was my nan, my mum, my sister-in-law, she doesn't drink massively actually, but there was a lot of Prosecco drunk in quite a short period of time, and it was making everyone emotional quite early on. And my nan was emotional, and she isn't really that type. And I think it tipped me over the edge, and I just drank through the rest of the day. I don't remember leaving. My partner had driven, so thankfully he drove us home. I couldn't remember where I lived. I was trying to go into a different house. This with the kids. This is probably about 8 o'clock at night. So it's not really late, but we'd been there since 12. And then I remember very little. I don't remember anything after that. I woke up the next morning. I couldn't take the kids to school. I was supposed to be going for a Mother's Day lunch with Joe, my middle son. I was supposed to be taking my other nan out for a birthday lunch. I had to cancel all these things. And then amongst this, I thought, I really hurt and I couldn't work out why. And I said to my partner, "I'm really hurting." He said, "Oh, you fell over." I said, "Oh, okay." I don't, no memory of it whatsoever. And I think, by the sounds of it, I'd gone into the bedroom and just literally fallen flat on my bottom. And I'd never had pain like it for like 2 or 3 days. I thought I'd broken my coccyx. I was in agony. So I was in agony. I could barely drive, and I was having to do school runs in agony. I was so miserable. I hated myself. It was horrible. It was a really horrible time. And I just thought, I can't keep doing this. And to be fair, I did start to think, right, I'm just gonna stop drinking wine altogether. That will help if I just stop drinking wine. That will do it. And as the time went on, I just decided that no, that's not going to work either. I thought, right, I'll just stop drinking at all these family occasions that are stressing me out. That's what I'll do. I just won't drink at them. So I'd planned, I think there was Easter coming up, and I was like, right, I'm definitely not drinking at that. That's going to be, we'll see how that goes. I told people I wasn't going to drink at it, and it kind of all went from there, really, that I haven't drunk since Mother's Day.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
Oh.
6 days ago.
Oh, you must feel so proud of yourself.
Oh yeah, I do.
It's such a huge achievement. And it's interesting. I wonder how many people relate to your experience of drinking. Because when you were talking, I was thinking, God, I was thinking, I really relate to it because it sounds very similar to my life, my story, even down to having two children with another person and having a breakup and meeting someone else and having a child for ages. Mine are 3, nearly 9 and nearly 11, and yours are 5, 10, 13. So they're just almost the sort of, yeah, so weird. But your experience is, it's almost so normal in a strange way. It must be so common. As well for you, that you didn't really have that much of a problematic relationship with alcohol. You had a very kind of typical drinking relationship, where it's a bit too much at weekends in your 20s and you just sort of accepted that weekends were written off. I mean, isn't that crazy when you think that one, at least one decade, for me, nearly two, but where just weekends were all about just getting wrecked and just drinking, and that was that. But through the COVID thing, and you're absolutely right, that's definitely changed a lot of people's relationships or tipped them over the edge. But yeah, it's just the story, your story is just, it's quite simple in a way,
It
but
is,
yet everything you felt and everything you went through when it came to those sorts of experiences where you felt like you let yourself down, or you woke up and you hated yourself. And when you were talking about that, I felt that really viscerally because I remembered that feeling so much. I remembered just the shock of not being able to moderate like I thought I could on paper, and it, doing it okay sometimes, but then it being like a game of roulette. Every now and then, the wheels would
Yeah,
just
definitely.
roll
It
and.
would work sometimes, and then you'd be so proud of yourself that
Yeah, I
I'd
do
say to
it.
Trevor, "Oh, I haven't got a hangover this morning," and I remember all of it, and it'd be like, "Wow, go me."
Yeah, I know. I remember that so much. I remember that mindset of feeling like I'd achieved something huge because I didn't black out, or I didn't fall over or do something stupid the night before. Like I managed to sort of like drink okay in inverted commas, or I managed to stick to just one bottle of wine, which is a, an alarming amount of wine, really. But sometimes people, when I talk to them, if they're big drinkers or if they're wanting to quit drinking, and they say, "How much did you drink?" And I said, "Well, I tried to stick to a bottle, but it would be a bottle or a bottle and a half most of the time." And they'll say, "God, that's nothing. I'm doing two bottles or two." And you think,
Wow.
no, actually, a bottle is really a lot. It is
It's really a
really,
lot.
really a lot. And it's amazing how you just keep moving the goalposts, I think, and you keep convincing yourself that things are okay, or that your drink is okay, and you're in that just that really big cloud of denial. But your story is
I reckon there must be a lot of people that really relate to that story. And the way that you explained it so well, just the way that you start to come to that realization that you just can't do it anymore.
No, it was just making me feel just awful, and I couldn't, I couldn't moderate. You know, people say, "Can you just, why can't you just have one?" Because I can't, and I was definitely one of those. What's the point in having one? I was so that I'd rather have nothing because it made you want more, or it made you feel a bit rubbish for the rest of the day. It made me feel grumpy because I couldn't have another one, so I was better off just not bothering.
Exactly. And I felt the same. And I think that moving into that place of acceptance that you cannot moderate is very, very fundamental to success in early
It is.
sobriety. And so you had this thing that happened on Mother's Day, and just for you to know, as I'm sure that you know anyway, but a lot of people that have a difficult relationship with alcohol, which I think is a lot of people, to be honest. I think alcohol, having any relationship with alcohol is really challenging. I don't care what anyone says or how anyone likes to present it. A lot of people have challenges with drinking. Of course, why wouldn't they? It's very addictive. It's very toxic and very addictive. But I think that when it comes to you getting to that place where you had that situation on Mother's Day, I've had nights like that. I've had days like that. And I think sometimes they're so full of shame, those moments. And it's almost like you can't even put one foot in front of the other because you're just like, what is wrong with me? Why am I doing this? But actually, it just shows you that this happens all, this is always happening. This is probably happening to people this weekend. It will happen to people today. Good people in jobs, with families, with nice family, all of that, it happens. It happens to everyone. And I went to a gathering with young children at midday in someone's house where we were supposed to bake Christmas cookies and do all these lovely family things. And the way you described it was really, really interesting. Like there was just something in the air. And that day was like a day where I was like, I just went for it. Doing that thing that I describe as, drinking like someone's going to take me home, even though nobody was taking me home because I was a single parent with two kids, like really young kids. And I drank from midday until about 8 o'clock, where I managed to get into a taxi. I don't know how I got in the taxi. I had a friend, thankfully, that had her husband. They got me home. I don't know how I got in the front door. I put those kids to bed somehow. Woke up in the
It's
night.
terrifying, isn't
It's
it, though? It was,
awful. When I
it
like I feel that took a long time for me to move past that, how terrible I felt about myself, how irresponsible I was. I didn't intend to do that. I didn't. If someone said to me
No,
the day before, do you want to drink to the point where you don't remember going home and doing all these things, I would say, oh my God, that's ludicrous. Of course
Yeah.
not. And I think that's the challenge, isn't it? That's the thing. It's the roulette. With alcohol, it's just not worth it. You can't go and have one. You know that. One's going to turn into 10 glasses. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to wake up and then you're just not going to be able to live with yourself. And it's that pulling yourself apart.
Yeah, it's a horrible feeling,
It's
isn't it?
awful. Yeah, awful. So what did you do then? So you decided, I know obviously you had the Mother's Day thing, but then there was this, it sounds like there was this period where you weren't. I don't know whether it's clear if you were 100% sure that was it then, or whether it just sort of ended up being it. Like, talk me through that. What did
Yeah, well, that was how it worked. So yeah, I had probably that first week, hadn't decided I was going to stop, but I knew I needed to change something. And I knew probably some of the things that were triggers for me, so I knew I needed to probably stop those. And I think it just kind of happened organically that that first week I could not sleep. Whether it was, I don't think probably that was because I'd stopped drinking, because I could go a week without drinking, it wasn't a major problem. But I was so anxious and I just felt so awful. And I think I knew something had to change. And I think there was just so much going on in my head. And I couldn't sleep. So I started Googling, as you do. And I found Janie Lee Gracie's podcast. So I started listening to that with my earbuds at night and just listening to it while I couldn't sleep, or I'd go downstairs. I just listened to those. I had them in my ears just the whole time. I was doing the school run, and it was just all coming into my ear, and I was just thinking, this sounds so good. I want this. I don't want to feel like I feel. And I think I ordered the Sober Diaries and The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober, and I read those in pretty quick succession, and they were great, and they sound like people a bit like you, and it just made me think. It's getting it in your brain, isn't it? It's all information and learning, and it's changing the way you think about it. And you're thinking, oh, I didn't think about it like that. And I just sucked it all up. So I listened to anything I could. I read blogs. I found your podcast and I listened to it. And just there was always something in my ears. I'm cooking the dinner. I'm hanging out the washing. It's always in my ear. Still now, I'm still doing that. So I just read and I learned, and I felt the benefits really quickly. I remember saying to my friend, and she was like, oh, I didn't tell that many people to start off with, but I remember telling my friend in the school playground, it's probably only about 3 or 4 weeks in, and I said, I feel joyful. Like, I felt just so, joyful. Like, I don't, it came really quick. I think I then did have a few downs, but overall, it just has leveled everything.
Oh,
So
so
yeah, I think, oh, I started putting money in a little bank account. Every time I might have bought a bottle of wine or whatever, I put a bit of money in. So I watched that. But it's just nice to see something, isn't there? Something tangible that you can just see building up and building up. And yeah, and I did, on a once I probably was about a month, 6 weeks, I wrote something that was just kind of one of those. I thought people are going to start asking soon. And people have already said to me, are you pregnant? Which is the standard. Why are you not drinking? That was the only reason that's the only time I didn't drink. I never drank through my pregnancies, and that I never did a sober, January, never did any of those things. So I just wrote something and it just came out. And I kept it just to myself for a little while, just why I was doing it and how I felt. And I did share it with a few people, but I still haven't shared it massively. But just with kind of close friends and family and stuff. And then it just snowballed from there, and I started going, I need to try new things. And I wanted to do everything, literally everything. So I've now done wild swimming,
Oh,
which I've been talking
wow.
about doing for years. I've never been brave enough to do it. And there was somewhere down the road, it's like a little private lake. So they have a lifeguard and everything, so it's all really safe.
That's so
And I've
cool.
done it twice now. Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
So it's just trying new things. It gives you something. It's keeping you busy, isn't it? So it's keeping you busy, but also thinking, oh, I wouldn't have done this before. Partly because of time, because drinking and thinking about drinking takes up so much time.
Oh, it does.
So much time. Always thinking about, always, can I have one tonight? Oh, I shouldn't have one tonight. Oh, it's just too much.
And it's almost like you put your life on hold as well. When I wasn't drinking, or when I had planned nights off drinking, those nights always felt a bit more dull. It was almost like I couldn't get through those nights, which is sad, isn't it? When you
It
think
is just
about
really, it's really sad. Like, at least, half of your week you're feeling like that, and it's just, and you're waiting, like, what time can I actually, or it's 5 o'clock now, we're okay, you can open it, or we'll have Sunday lunch, we can have a bottle now because it's lunchtime. And it's just, you're just thinking about it constantly, and my head's just freed up now. It's amazing. It's, yeah.
And 100 days in as well, you've got past that initial, because sometimes that space and that freedom can be quite overwhelming at first.
Yeah.
It feels like, oh my God, what do I do to fill my time? Like, what am I going to do? And I feel like you do feel a bit like an octopus in yogurt. You're just a bit all over
Yeah.
the place. And
Yeah.
then that starts to pass as I was like you, I really connected with the learning. I loved the learning.
Yeah.
I was
Yeah.
always with the headphones on, always listening to some content, And just really prioritize that for me in my early journey, and I loved it as well. I loved learning information and learning more about my brain, and just connecting all the dots really, and shifting my perspective and thinking, hang on a minute, there is actually another way to be. There is another way to live. There is people out there, shock horror, that are enjoying life without drinking. And what is that? And it felt quite. Yeah, it was sort of quite mind-boggling, I think, in the beginning. And yeah, I just think that first 100 days is you've realized you've got all this time. How do you deal with it? But then quickly that moves into, oh my God, how did I waste so much time? Like I'm busy now with all my new interests and all the stuff that I've made time for. You then, I think, flip back into that sort of, how on earth did I ever have the time to drink? It's crazy how I operated like that for so long.
It's not just it's not the drinking really, it's the problem. It's everything comes with it, isn't it? The thinking about it takes it's forever in your brain, isn't it? Just always there niggling away saying, I could have one tonight. Oh no, I shouldn't have one tonight. Oh, I mean, I've been a runner for quite a long time, and I was really good at if it was a running day the next day, because I run quite early, I wouldn't drink. So I was quite good at that, but it did sometimes feel like oh, I really want to, but then I knew why I couldn't drink, I think, because I was running and I knew it would affect that. But there were certain days, like we started doing the Jay's virtual quiz in lockdown. And we still do it on a Thursday night now. So we're what, 4 and a bit years on. And me and my partner, we set up at the table and we do the quiz. I think that became more about drinking than actually doing the quiz. It was just a good excuse to really have a few drinks. I completely lost my train of thought of where I was going with that. But we've kind of stopped. We still do it, not every week religiously, but now we've done the quiz, I might have an alcohol-free beer, and then we go and watch something on the TV. Well, we don't. I can't just sit and we'd sit there for like a good couple of hours drinking. Oh, that's where I was going. So my friend would say, "Oh, could you run Friday morning?" And I was always like, "No, can't run on Friday morning," because I'd spent the last 4 years hungover at work on a Friday because we'd done the quiz on a Thursday night. I mean, I don't know how. Just every Friday, So that's I've had 4 months of hangover-free Fridays. It's been lovely. Where I can, and my friend will say, "Oh, I can't run today. Could you mind swapping it for this day?" I'm like, "Yeah, whatever. I can do whatever day now. It makes absolutely no difference to me," which is actually really nice.
That is really nice. Yeah, I always felt a bit like that about when it was the weekend or Friday. I realized that, that every day just felt good. It didn't have to just be a Friday and Saturday because you live for the weekends and you live for the weekend and the drinking. And actually, when you don't have that to live for, you could just enjoy every day for what it is. That's not to say that you don't have, obviously, like you said, challenges or things that throw up in life. But the sort of baseline is at a good level most days. It's not about getting over the weekend, getting over the weekend, getting over the weekend, and then waiting for Friday, waiting for Friday, and then like Friday, Saturday,
Everything's just
Sunday, really.
on a level, isn't it?
Yeah,
Everything's
it's just
just
like
it's
everything's
not,
quite good.
you don't get those massive highs. Like we watched the football last night. 3 years ago, the Euros final, we had people round. I didn't get the kids to school the next morning. I used the I'm too tired, they can't come to school, they stayed up too late. But really, I was just too hungover to get them there and I felt terrible. Whereas yesterday we just stayed at home, we watched it. I had an alcohol-free beer. Like this morning they went, "We're tired." I went, "You're going to school." It's just a completely different experience of, but you're just on a level. You don't get those huge highs. I think they might come. But you don't get those really low lows, and they're the things that I didn't want anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I think I agree with that. The huge highs do come. They're just, and I think actually the highs come and they last longer because they are natural
They're
and
real,
they're real. Yeah, whereas obviously with drinking, it's just that very, very quick artificial high that then
go, you know, drops and goes through the floor, and
Yeah.
you have to drink more to get to baseline, and then you have all
Yeah.
the baggage of drinking, like you mentioned. It's all
Yeah.
stuff, isn't it? I saw a parent this morning, actually. It was quite interesting. So I walked to school with the girls, and I just said, oh, hello, you know, across the road to them, and they said, oh, hi, and I said, are you okay? And he went, oh God, yeah, hungover. And I thought, well, of course, because obviously, probably a lot of the country having
I
the
would imagine there are a lot of hangovers
last
today.
night,
Yeah.
a lot of the country would be feeling quite vulnerable and
Yes.
achy this morning. But it's just in those sorts of moments, I think, oh yeah, because people drink, they get hungover, don't they? You know,
Yeah.
it's so, I'm so kind of far removed from it now. It's not,
Yeah.
I like I say, you almost get to a point where I sort of like, you almost feel a slightly like you take it for granted that you wake up feeling 100% most
Yeah.
nights. It's
Yeah.
that just
You
becomes
notice when
normal.
you're not feeling very well.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
wasn't very well a couple of weeks ago, and I thought I actually felt really poorly, and I thought that's why. It's not because I'm hungover, or you really notice it.
Yes, you do. And it's quite a shock, though,
Yeah.
isn't it? I think when you get
It
your first
is.
illness in sobriety,
Yeah,
it's
it is.
also, I think you connect the dots on, oh my God, I used to make myself feel like this as
Yeah.
well when you were drinking, you know. So
For all those years, yeah, for
yeah.
all of those years,
Yeah.
takes a long time. It's taken me a long time to stop doing that,
Yeah.
even with the major hangovers that I had. I mean, you'd think that would make you stop, but it doesn't, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It's a strange one, isn't it? A lot of people talk about that though, don't they? You know, it's almost like death of a thousand cuts. You just have so many of those sorts of experiences, but yet one just stands out and that makes you do
Yeah.
something about it. And that's
Yeah,
brilliant.
it wasn't.
But it is quite easy to sort of look back and think, well, why did that not make me stop? Well, that, or
Yeah,
that, or that, or that.
it's just the time, isn't it? It's the same as anything. If you want to lose weight or give up smoking, you have to be in that right
Yeah.
place in your life at that particular time, don't you? Otherwise, it's probably not going to work, you know.
Yeah, so true, so true. And how has it changed your relationship or impacted your relationship not drinking?
I think it's better. Trev doesn't really. He drinks. We drank together. Not a big drinker. He can quite happily just have one. He's fine. You know, it's fairly regular, but not. He'd go, I'm just gonna have one. He might like go, I'm just gonna have a port tonight, and I'd be like, what are you doing? I'd need the bottle of wine, not the port. So I think he's really proud, and I think he can see the change in me. I think. He knows that I'm much more level, and I can deal with things much better. And I think just generally happier. I just feel happier. So I think it hasn't altered it massively. We've been out for dinner a couple of times, and he's had a drink and I haven't, and he's got a driver now, so it's all good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, my husband's quite similar. He's take it or leave it. And so it didn't really have any major impact on
No.
us. But, you know, I know obviously there are people out there where it is more, it's a bigger habit maybe, and
Yeah.
that's obviously maybe more challenging in some ways. But yeah, no, it sounds like it's just been a positive, if anything.
It has. Yeah, I think it's been a good
Yeah.
thing, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel the same as well. I always feel like it's something that we reflect on every now and then. You know, I'm sort of 5 years in now, but every now and then I say, oh God, if I was at this thing, you know, I would be drinking so much. You know, I'll talk about it
Yeah.
out loud with him, saying, oh, I would really have, you know, drank a lot or whatever. And then I'll say, I'm so glad I don't drink anymore.
Yeah.
And I'll say, I wonder what our relationship would be like actually if I was
Mm.
still drinking. Because when I met him, I quit about a year or so after meeting him or
It's
being with
fairly
him.
early
Quite
on.
early on, I'm not sure if he ever really saw the more darker sides that my drinking could sometimes have, you know, like the
Yeah.
sort of falling asleep on the sofa, spilt wine glass on the floor, blacking
Yeah.
out, falling over on the way to bed, you know, that type of behavior. He
Yeah.
didn't really see a lot of that. But I sometimes do wonder, and he says, I'm not sure if we would have coped you know,
No,
whether we would be
it's a big
together.
thing, especially if you're not a big drinker. It's a lot.
Yes.
Sometimes it can be worse if you're both like it, I guess. It does
Yes.
help if you've got someone that isn't such a big drinker that
Agree.
yeah, it makes it easier, I think, for
Yes,
sure.
I agree with that completely. Because almost his under-drinking highlighted it for me, my over-drinking. Because he would quite happily.
I definitely made him drink more. I mean, he said that.
Yes, yeah,
I
same.
was like, come on, let's have another one. And he wouldn't have done that.
No, absolutely the same. Yeah, absolutely the same. And I think the fact that he would more often than not drink, but I would drink, I just felt, even though he didn't say anything, I started to feel uncomfortable about that. Like, I feel embarrassed that I need to have my third glass of wine on a Wednesday night when he's just having a soft drink. We're just watching telly. Like, why do I need three, nearly four glasses of wine? Why am I in turmoil that I need to have one more glass? But he's going, you know, just all of that felt a bit kind of off for
Which can
me.
uncomfortable,
So I think that was really helpful, actually, meeting. Wasn't. For a change, I managed to gravitate towards someone who wasn't a huge drinker.
I think that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, because all my relationships before, I think, had probably been really quite boozy, you know, probably for obvious reasons now, because that's what I chose. But yeah, so what's been the trickiest bits for you, would you say? What's been the hardest bit about getting sober?
I think it's working out what to do with the feelings that you would have just opened a bottle of wine, or whether that was happy feelings or stressful feelings or sad or whatever. So it's working out what to do with those. And I think that's going to take some time. I go for a walk quite a lot. And the exercise is definitely probably the best thing for that. It really works for me. And I think it's just working out who I am and where I fit in. My family is very booze centric. So being someone that stopped drinking is quite challenging. I think it's quite challenging for everybody. So it's working out how to navigate that, I think. And that's going to just take some time, I think. I'm having to put in the boundaries, I guess, to what I want to do and what I don't want to do. And I don't think I've ever done that. I've always gone along with everything that everyone else wants to do. And now I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't, you know, you don't want to do the same things, do you? Because they're quite boring. It's just that you don't want to break those relationships, and you don't want to upset people, and you don't. So it's quite a fine line, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely tricky navigating that stuff. But I do think that when you're not drinking, you are able to hear your own voice, your internal voice more clearly, has more volume to it. And I think that it does feel right to kind of pay more attention to that and honor that and do things, more things that you want to do and don't just always try and fit in. I think that does come out quite a lot, to be honest. And the
Well, it's
boundaries.
just when you're not used to it, it feels so selfish, doesn't it? It feels like, I would be one of those people that if someone asked us to do something, we've already got three things on, but I'd try and fit it in somewhere. You would try and because it'll make someone happy somewhere along the line. I'm like, you can't keep doing that all the time. You have to, it comes a little bit with age, I think, as well, that you start to think, you have to think about yourself and your family and what works. The people you live with are the people you spend the most time with, aren't they? They're the ones that need to be happy.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think for some reason we are in a culture of not prioritizing ourselves. You know, I think we've kind of grown ups for whatever reasons to be in our place or in a place or doing a certain thing. Should lots of shoulds. You should do this and you should let, you know, a dollop of people pleasing in there. And so it's kind of, yeah, I do think that this stuff unravels quite a bit, but it's a positive thing as well. You know, it's at the end of the day, I do think that when you're running quite fast in a slightly wrong direction, which is what I felt like when I was drinking, you know, living a life that I just kind of fell into, or because everyone else was doing it, or doing things to please others, and just not really focused on myself and what I needed and I wanted. I think it's if you just keep going in that direction, you're always just going to be trapped in that unhealthy coping mechanism, drinking kind of lifestyle. Whereas, yeah, stopping drinking and then kind of working out what your path is and going in that direction can be a bit uncomfortable, but I do think the growth that comes with that in the long run is so worth it.
It's just it takes time. When you've lived a certain way for so long, it's going to take a while to unbreak all those habits, isn't it? And all those feelings, and just learn who you are again, who you want to be, I suppose. Who,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely. And then I think that's really good modeling as well for your own, kids, if you have them, is being able to, just sort of living authentically. And some people, it's always quite common, isn't it? But people, when they stop drinking, they start to realize, well, I don't want to do that social thing actually. Or, you know what? I've realized I don't really enjoy that. He was just drinking through it before, but actually, I'm not enjoying that. And they kind of connect those dots on, I was probably just drinking to make this better or to fit in. And
Well, you only went because there was you knew you could drink. It's
yeah,
yeah,
well,
it is.
and then it's like, well, actually, now that I don't drink, I don't enjoy that anymore. It's sort of learning that's okay.
Yeah, that's the tricky bit, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's a practice.
That's it will come.
Yeah, it will 100%. You're in such a good position as well, because the biggest key to opening that door, in my own opinion anyway, is not drinking. I think that's so important. And so what would you say is the biggest gain for you?
I think it's just my mental health. I've not suffered massively, but I think I was miserable a lot of the time. I was getting more and more anxious. Probably a couple of months or so before I stopped drinking, I started getting like heart palpitations and stuff, and went to the doctors, and I thought it was like perimenopause or one of those, that kind of age, that kind of thing. And actually, when I stopped drinking, they pretty much disappeared straight away. I haven't had one. Probably 2 weeks out, I was still having them a little bit, but I've not had them at all. So I just feel more stable. I feel more, I might lose my shit with the kids sometimes because they're driving me insane, but I feel more patient. I feel more present with my family, and I think that's the main thing. I just don't feel, and I don't feel like I want to hate myself anymore. I feel like I want to do nice things, and I feel like I just feel so much better in myself, I think, is the
And that's worth so much. There's a lot
it
of people that would love to feel like that,
is
that is the ultimate, isn't it? Just
it is
feeling good about yourself, feeling good
yeah
about
feeling
yourself.
good, and generally quite happy and cheerful, and getting up in the morning and doing all the corny things like listening to the birds and all that kind of stuff. But it just there are all those small things that just make you feel good and that you didn't notice before because you've got that time in your head to notice them now.
Agree with that. Totally agree with that. So thinking about, and as you're 126 days in, so it's still quite fresh for you. What would you say your top three tips are for people getting or staying successfully sober?
I think the first one, especially when you're quite early in, is just learn, take as much in as you can, read and listen to podcasts and find blogs and just take it all in, whether they're the kind of the memoir type books or the sciencey ones. I've done a bit of both. But the more you can learn about it, the more you can look at it kind of more objectively, I suppose, and think, I don't want to do that to myself, or it's just, and it makes you feel like I'm not the only person that feels like this, but it's just the learning is key, and I'm still doing that now, and probably it'll reduce, but I think I'm on like book number 10 or something. I've read loads, and there's always a podcast in my ear, so I think education is key.
Absolutely.
Second one, I think, is get connected with people. Find that sober, gang that you, I kind of, within a few weeks, I'd pretty much unfollowed all of those things on Instagram, which are like drinking memes and all of those things. And anybody that was posting anything on Facebook or any of those things, I hid them. I hid them. I hid them. I hid everything. And then I think I set up my sober Instagram account after about 6 weeks, and set up just a sober one. So it's just nice. And you do end up connecting with some of the same people. So you kind of, there's always someone you can talk to. There's
Yeah.
always someone that knows how you're feeling, or you see someone that's done 3 days and you're like, wow, that's really good. So it's like you feel like you're then can support other people. So I think that's really important.
Yes.
And I think my last one is keep yourself busy. Just find things to do that you enjoy, and they might be new things, or you might be doing things that you've done before that you've just now got time for. Or for me, it's just I felt like I wanted to be outside all the time. I just felt like that's where I felt happiest. So I was going for long walks, and I think that's gonna be the way for me, just doing loads of out. I want to do everything, but loads of outdoor things. So I think if you can keep yourself busy, whatever that might be that works for you, so you're just not thinking about it, and have nice things to look forward to.
Yeah.
Book something in so you think, oh, I've got that to look forward to, and there's always a goal. And yeah, save all your money up. I bought myself some new running trainers with mine.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, what did you buy anything with this little
Yeah,
pop?
so I bought some tra yeah, I bought some new running trainers. There's still a bit in there, so I'm trying to. I think it might be a new running watch. So
Oh,
it's
I love it.
yeah, it's so nice to see that. So just the it's just something you can see, isn't it? You know that. And then I bought them, and I was like, wow, I bought these because I've done this, and it's you feel like you really deserve them.
I love that. Yeah, I remember doing something similar. I don't know if it was 100 days, maybe it was around then, or it was certainly under 6 months. I bought a paddle board
Oh,
because we've got
that's
long
my next
water.
thing I want to do.
Yeah, we've got long water here. And so, yeah, I've got myself a paddle board, which I was very happy about, but very smug about.
Yeah.
And what is your sober Instagram handle?
It is Sober Mum of Boys.
So at Sober Mum of Boys.
Yep.
Awesome. Oh, Carrie, it's been so nice to talk to you today. Yeah, just relate to so much of your story. And I am so grateful that you have come on my show to share it with other people to help them. You know, that's the beauty. You get to give back a bit with this process, which I think is nice. There might be someone just like you now starting on day one, two, three, that hears your episode and thinks, wow, you know, she's made that sound great. Not perfect, like there are
No.
feelings and there are things to deal with, but you're here, you survived. In fact, you've more than survived, you're thriving on it, you know, you're happy, you're doing great. So, yeah.
It is great. So everyone should do
Yeah.
it. It's been really great being here.
I felt the same as well. Like I felt fortunate. I think there's something about timing. Like you said, it's the right time. You feel really aligned with doing this, and yeah, kind of I hit the ground running, and I just was the same. I just hoovered up the information, loved it, loved it, loved it. So
Yeah, that's
I
me.
relate to your experience really a lot.
That's good.
And the really nice thing is that, you know, for me, I'm 5 years in now, and so I've seen how much that continues to change and how much deeper that connection with yourself gets, and how much more you appreciate, and that you feel the gratitude, and just gets better and better. Like I genuinely really believe
That's
that.
good.
So that's also probably
It's
nice.
already pretty good, so it's good
Yeah.
if it's gonna get better.
Amazing. Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone else. Until next time, goodbye.
Not sure if you know already, but I offer 6 week and 100 day coaching opportunities to work with me one-to-one each week. In these 50-minute sessions, I will be guided by your particular set of challenges and experiences and tailor a style of support that suits your life, your needs, but also covering many of the basics that you expect in sobriety. You will learn about why you drink, why it's hard to stop drinking, what you need to do to succeed, need, the science around cravings, poor sleep, managing your thoughts, and finally, powerful tools like reframing, taking back your power, implementing boundaries, and building self-confidence. In the 100 Days Coaching, you also get WhatsApp access with me directly for any urgent or general support outside of the sessions. Here's what Sarah says about the 100 Days Coaching with me. What have you gained from coaching with me?
So much. I can't even begin to tell you what an amazing journey this has been. I have gained insight. It's probably been the biggest thing, and how to cope, coping mechanisms, strategies. The biggest thing I've learned has been learning how to reframe, reframing situation, reframing what to do, you know, if those thoughts pop up. I did come to you obviously a little bit destroyed, or more than destroyed, and on the floor, but I knew that I had it in me to do it, and with your help and insights and strategies and what homework you gave me just made it so much easier and normalized it as well. If I had an issue with something, you were there.
It's so nice to hear that feedback, and it's just such a privilege to help people to feel supported on this journey, and to see people flourish after the 100 days is finished is a really, really wonderful feeling. So if you're interested in working with me for 6 weeks or 100 days, please go to the website www.sassysobermum.com/coaching, and you can send an inquiry from there, or just contact me on Instagram or send me an email. Whatever suits you the best. I usually open up my diary once a month to take on a new 100-day client. So let me know and we can see if we can get you booked in.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you're interested in being a guest, please contact me directly on Instagram by sending a message to @sassysobermum. You can also find helpful tools and resources on my website, sassysobermum.com. If you enjoyed the podcast and you want to spread the love, please like, share, and rate the podcast. I really look forward to next time. See you then.